Well, this morning we're going back to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 12. We're going to be studying that. As we follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, he often teaches some tough things. We've looked at him talking about hypocrisy in our religion. We've looked at him talking about someone who was so greedy, he was just thinking about the things of this world, just building bigger barns. But today he is giving us some words of comfort. He's talking to us about some problem that I think probably everybody in this church has. Worry, anxiety, concern. Jesus is telling us, do not worry. Last week we learned about a rich farmer who worried because he had too much. Well, the disciples may have been tempted to worry because they didn't have enough. They left everything to follow Jesus, and Jesus was telling him, don't worry. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 32. Follow as I read these verses of Scripture. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat? Nor about the body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse or barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Father, we come into your presence this morning and pray that we would learn from you, Lord Jesus. Teach us how to trust you more. Teach us that we can rely upon you for all of our needs. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture this morning. If you think that this sounds familiar and you, I've heard that in a different book of Scripture. Of course, Matthew 6 is also talking about the very same things, just changing the words a little bit. Jesus gives us a command not to worry. In verse 22, he says, do not worry. What is worry? Well, someone said worry is an excessive concern, an obsessive concern about the affairs of life. It's an all-consuming feeling of uncertainty and fear. Notice some of the anxieties of life that Jesus mentions here. He mentions food and clothes. Of course, the disciples had left their jobs. Peter was a fisherman, Andrew and some of the others were fishermen, and Matthew was a tax collector, and they left all of that to follow Jesus. And so they might have thought, well, what are we going to do about food? What are we going to do about buying more clothes and things like that? Well, Jesus says, don't worry about these things. The word worry means to be torn apart. And the word anxious in verse 29 means to be held in suspense. It's like a picture of a ship being tossed in a storm. And the English word worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word that means to strangle. And that's what worry does. It sometimes strangles the life right out of you because of this excessive concern. Corrie ten Boom says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, and it empties today of its strength. What do you worry about? Here's a few examples of people who are worried today. I worry I'll never find love and I'll die alone. I worry about having enough money to buy groceries for my family. I worry about whether people like me or they just put up with me. I worry that I will never overcome my addiction. I worry that I am missing God's path for my life. I worry that I'll never get out of debt or own a home. I worry about my wife. I worry about my husband. I worry about my parents or my children or my grandchildren. I worry if I'll have enough money for retirement. I worry about my health. I worry if my hurricane repairs will ever be completed. You know what Jesus says? Do not worry. He was not suggesting that we sit around and let God feed us. Well, even the birds, they have to chase down their food. Rather, it means do our best and leave to God the rest. Trust Him. Have faith in Him. Why did Jesus tell us not to worry? What is the explanation? Because of the goodness of the Father. In verse 30, it says this, "For all these things," meaning worrying about food, worrying about clothes, worrying about a roof on your head, "all the nations of the world seek after." That's what society is all about, just chasing down enough to the basic necessities of life. But the rest of that verse says, "Your Father knows that you need these things." Chris Tomlin is a modern-day songwriter, and he writes this song, and the lyrics are so good. I'm not like Pastor Gary. I'm not going to sing this song. But it's called "Good, Good Father." Oh, I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You are a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know you're all searching for answers only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. Do you know, do you really know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, Jesus is your Savior, but you have a good, good Father. He knows exactly what you need emotionally. He knows exactly what you need in providing for the basic necessities of your life. Jesus said, it's powerless to worry. There's no, what can worry do? Jesus said in verse 25, "And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" I'm so short, and I've been looking for that extra cubit for a long time. And it doesn't matter how much I worry about it, it doesn't get done. And the ESV translation of verse 25 says this, "And which of you by me being anxious can add a single hour to his lifespan?" You cannot add 1 hour to how you live by being worried. I've met people who are all consumed about health. All consumed. They're stressed with their life. They take all the precautions to extend their lives. They take the supplements. They put on the masks. They take the sanitizers. They do all of these things, and that does not add 1 hour to your life. I've met people that do everything to protect what they have. They get locks on their doors and fences and cameras and guard dogs, and they still get robbed. You know, mortality, last time I heard, was right up there at 100%, the mortality rate. Everyone is going to die. And we worry about things. For several years, there was this woman that was having trouble getting to sleep at night because she was afraid of burglars. What if somebody breaks in? I can't sleep. One night, her husband heard a noise in the house. So he went downstairs to investigate. When he got there, he found a burglar. "Good evening," said the man of the house. "I'm pleased to see you. Come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been waiting for you for 10 years. You know, a lot of times our worry keeps us up at night, causes ulcers. Jesus is giving, he said, do not worry. And then he gives, he looks around in nature and he gives a couple illustrations of God's provision. First of all, he mentions in these verses, I think it's verse 24, consider the ravens, the ravens. The raven is the first bird that's mentioned in the Bible, way back in Noah's ark. Noah released it from the ark to check the condition of the earth. The ravens brought food to the prophet Elijah. But ravens know nothing about farming. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. They just trust that God will provide, and he does. Jesus also talked about sparrows. Sparrows, God takes care of them. He even notices when one of them falls to the ground. Amazing sovereignty of God. God sees the minutest details of our life. Even when a sparrow dies, he knows that. Even sparrows can be sold, at least in Bible times, you could sell a sparrow. I don't know what in the world you're going to do with a sparrow. There's not much meat on them. But anyway, you could sell sparrows, but you couldn't sell ravens because they were unclean. But even God notices those scavengers of the earth. God provides for the birds. As a matter of fact, bird watching is biblical. It says in Matthew chapter 6, look at the birds, Jesus said. That's the Matthew 6 passage. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. As I've said in the article that I wrote in the paper Saturday and it's in the bulletin, one of my favorite hobbies is bird watching. I've loved birds since I was a preteen and been following them and got my lifetime list of seeing birds. And we have in our neighborhood what is called a loggerhead shrike. I don't know if you know that. The nickname is butcher birds because when they go finding a grasshopper or even one of those little anoles, they will catch them, and they will fly it over to a thorn bush or a barbed wire fence and stick that thing on there, skewer it. That's why they call them butcher birds. And then they'll fly around and get another one. I mean, who is going to go steal their food? But that's how they get their food. And you ever watch a robin? Now, we don't have a lot of robins down here. I did see a bunch of robins eating some berries from the Brazilian pepper trees, and they act like they were drunk on things. But up north, when you see a robin on a ground like that, they are just hopping, and then all of a sudden they stop, and then they turn their beak to the ground, stick it in the ground, and they pull up this worm. And I've been nightcrawler hunting before, and when I try to pull a nightcrawler out of the ground, I get half a nightcrawler. But those robins get the whole thing. Who in the world? Where did they learn that? God told them how to know where the worms are in the ground. And other birds. I mean, you're over here at the harbor. You ever watch those brown pelicans flying up there? All of a sudden they stop and then they dive. They tuck in their wings and they dive and they open their mouth and get a big gulp of things. And then you see them sitting on the water, and they drain out the water, and they got a fish in there, and they swallow. I said, where did they learn that stuff? God knows how to take care of the various birds with different kinds of tactics. God takes care of them. He's going to take care of you. And then Jesus gives us another illustration, the lilies, flowers. Hey, we got some flowers right here. I can't smell it anyway. But look how pretty that is. Do you think that somebody in some lab somewhere created this? No. It's the brilliance of a heavenly Father and how God, with his genius, takes care of all of those little details and the beauty of this. What is this, ladies? Carnation, carnation. There are some other things down there too. But God is able to take care and create beauty. And then Jesus says, even Solomon, with all of his glory and all of the money that he had to adorn himself and his wives and all of that, was not even half as pretty as the smallest flower. God takes care of that. And then the grass in verse 28, if God so clothes the grass which is in the field tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus argues from the lesser to the greater. If God feeds the birds, he will surely feed his children. If he beautifies the plants that grow up one day and are cut down the next, surely he will clothe his own people, because we are created in the image of God. Nothing else was created in the image of God, only man, and especially those who by faith has received his Son. If he gave his only Son, do you think that he would hold back anything else from those that he's loved and chosen? The problem is not little power, for he can do anything. The problem is our little faith. In Matthew 6:34, the Christian Standard Bible says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You ever heard that phrase, one day at a time? I think a lot of times we do worry about tomorrow. We worry about next week. We worry about, leave it to God. I heard a story in 480 BC, the outmanned army of Sparta's king Leonidas held off the Persian troops of Xerxes by fighting them one at a time as they came through a narrow mountain pass. Commenting on this strategy, C.H. Spurgeon said, suppose Leonidas and his handful of men had gone out into the wide open plains and attacked the Persian multitudes. Why, they would have died at once, even though they might have fought like lions. Spurgeon continued by saying that Christians stand in the narrow paths of today. If they choose to battle every difficult at once, they're sure to suffer defeat. But if they trust God and take their troubles one by one, they'll find that they have a strength sufficient for the day. Well, Jesus told us, do not worry. And then he gives us a couple illustrations of how God takes care of the smallest insignificant things of this world. And then he tells us about seeking first his kingdom. Verses 29 to 34. In verse 30, the world's quest for earthly treasure is given to us in this passage of Scripture. It says, for all these things, it means the over-concern, the daily stress of getting enough food, clothing, shelter, providing for all the bills and all of that, that is what the nations of the world are after. That is their reason to live. Just to take care of the basic necessities of life. But we, as believers in Christ, we as children of our Father, should put our energy in our quest for God and his kingdom. Verse 31. But seek, and in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added to you. In order to seek God's kingdom, I think first of all we need to seek the King. The Christian life is more than just accepting the Lord as our Savior. It's about continuing to seek the Lord. It's every day we put him first. Every day we go to him. Every day we come to him with our praise, and we come to him with our petitions. We come to him and communicate with him. The Lord is not just someone you passively accept. He's someone you actively seek. And someone said that God doesn't have any favorites, but he does have intimates, those that love him. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Listen again to the parallel passage in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not only are we to seek God's control over us, we are also to seek his character within us, righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they will be filled. Righteous means to be right with God. And in our personal lives, it means being and doing what is right. Righteousness means that what is acceptable to God or approved by God, integrity, virtue, purity of life, correctness of thinking and feeling and acting. It's a personal holiness that we need to be seeking. Jesus says, this is what we need to be after. Not running down all of these things. That's the way the rest of the world is. That's their priority. But our priority is to love our Father and to seek first him and his kingdom and our relationship with him. We need to seek him earnestly. That's what Jesus is saying. Seek first in Matthew 6. That means put it as a priority in your life. We need to live peaceably. Of course, verse 32. Do not fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom in verse 34 and to give, verse 33, give generously. Worry and care and anxiety has been a constant plague upon our peace. We can conquer our cares with three words that seem to rise out of this passage of Scripture. And the first word is faith. How do we win over worry? God knows our needs, so we can trust him to meet them. We are his sheep in his little flock. We are children in his family. We're servants in his kingdom. And he will see to it that our needs are met. It is his pleasure to give us the kingdom. Do you believe that? Do you have faith that God will take care of you? The second word that will help us to stop worrying so much is the word Father. We're not alone. We're not left alone here to figure out how to get through this life and to attack the world. We have a good, good Father. If he takes care of the ravens, and if he takes care of the sparrows and the birds, and he clothes the lilies, he cares so much more about you. And then the other word is first. It's he who I love. It's Jesus who I seek. It's him who I live for. Why worry? Recently we came back from a trip on an airplane, and I'm sure you've had many airplanes, whether it's Allegiant or some other brand, and occasionally you'll go through turbulence. Now, most of the pilots, as a matter of fact, the pilot who was taking us out from Fort Myers as we were going, he says, well, there's a big thunderstorm over the Gulf. Let's go the land route. Let's go up through, you know, the panhandle and stuff like that. They didn't want to fly over the Gulf. Well, back many years ago, they didn't have these type of abilities. So there was a pastor who had been on a long flight from one place to another. And then there was beginning to have these warning signs about something. The seatbelt light came on, fasten your seatbelt. That's the first thing that is there. And then the stewardess announced, oh, we're not going to be serving beverages at this time because we have a little turbulence. And make sure your seatbelt's fastened. And then later on, they says, I'm sorry, we're not going to, unable to be serving the meal at this time. There's turbulence ahead of us. This is a real old story. They don't serve meals at all now. So that's back when they used to do them. And then the storm broke out. There was cracks of thunder that could be heard inside the cabin. And then even above the roar of the engines, and lightning lit up the darkening sky. And then the airplane began to go up, and it began to go down. And people were getting, and they were getting fearful. Well, the pastor noticed this. And then he also noticed that there was one little girl over on the opposite aisle who was sitting there without a care on her, she was by herself without a care on her face, and she was sitting there reading a book. And he saw that little girl, and it seemed like she was calm within this whole storm there. Then she closed her eyes and nodded off a little bit. And when worry was on all of the adults, and finally they made it through and they landed, and the pastor says, I've got to find out about this little girl. And so he went over to her after the plane stopped and taxied up to the gate. Why weren't you afraid during this thunderstorm? And the child says, because my daddy's the pilot. And he's just taking me home. We go through a lot of storms, don't we? We go through storms of mental, financial, physical problems, and all kinds of trouble in our life. We need to learn. Our Father is the captain, and he's just taking us home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I have to admit that sometimes, God, I get worried about the little details of life. I get worried about food and clothes. I worry about family. I worry about health. And all of us here as your people confess that to you. Lord, teach us to always learn that you will provide for all of our needs. Help us not to worry and be anxious. Help us every day to take one day at a time and then turn that over to you. And Father, I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, oh God, show them through your word that you are a good, good Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing our song.